key you've got in your hands today is on my side. And it's what we call the servant's song, the song of the suffering servant. And we know the prophet Isaiah wrote at least 500 years before the birth of Jesus. And the chapters 40 to 66 are written for a time when Israel would be in exile in Babylon, longing for their return to Jerusalem, but aware of the sins that had led God to exile them. In Isaiah, there are four servant songs, and that tells of this mysterious servant of the Lord who's going to save his people. And this text that we have, 52:13 to 53:12, is an amazing prophecy of Jesus' life, and Good Friday in particular. You have to imagine this parallel. We're saying that someone in 1509, when Henry VIII came to the throne, has a vision that prophesies in detail the mission of a person living today. Is that not awesome? The text we're going to look at here is the most quoted section of the Old Testament within the New, and it's often called the Gospel of the Old Testament. And Jesus himself quotes this passage many times about his mission, and I think it influenced him profoundly. Mark 10:45, for instance, Jesus said to his disciples, "I will give my life as a ransom for many." And I believe reflecting on this passage helped Paul to become Jesus' most powerful advocate. He finally understood the Messiah had to die an ignominious death. And he set out that belief powerfully in Philippians 2. He said, "Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross." So we're going to read this passage. David's going to read it for me part by part with some comments on these prophecies as a devotional exercise to try and bring out its richness and depth. And I really encourage you, just take away the sheets that I've given you to meditate on the rest of today. This passage is not just a bunch of words. This passage is not just even a picture for us to look at. This passage poses us questions. God himself speaks to us through this passage. So let him question you today as you stand before the cross of Christ. David.
"See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand."
God himself is speaking here, "My servant." God is proud of his wise servant, who like a king will be lifted up and exalted. But Jesus is lifted up on a cross and not a throne. Jesus knew this. John 12:32 says, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Quoting this passage, Jesus knew what death he would die. And his appearance was disfigured, as it says. Any of you who've seen the Passion of the Christ will have been appalled, as the people of his day were, by Jesus' appearance after the Roman lashing. But the blood of that lashing is going to sprinkle many nations, it says. Gentile people as well as Jews will put their trust in him and be saved. God is saying through Isaiah, despite not being versed in Jewish tradition, Gentile people like us would understand the truth of his message and will to follow him as we do. What do you think of God's servant as he is lifted up on the cross? Are you drawn to him, or are you repelled?
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not.
In Jesus' lifetime, he was a poor and obscure itinerant preacher. He just went from village to village. He never sought the great and the good till they sought to destroy him on the cross. See how easy it is to make excuses. The speech now turns from my servant to our response. No beauty or majesty to attract us. We didn't understand. And the servant knew grief and sorrow. His friend Judas betrayed him. His family thought he was mad. His disciples failed to understand he was not the military leader Israel was seeking to drive out the Romans. When he was arrested, they all scattered and abandoned him. And he withstood abuse on the cross as he hung there, helpless. Can we see his hidden beauty and majesty as he hangs there? Have we despised and rejected him at times? And do we want to repent of that?
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Again, we the onlookers are speaking now. He took up our infirmities. Jesus on earth sought to heal all that needed healing. And he's offering that healing to us today, physical, psychological, spiritual, by his Holy Spirit. But he also offers the ultimate healing, the redemption of our bodies in the resurrection. Yet many thought him a sinner stricken by God. Surely the cross was a just punishment. But God, through Isaiah, is telling us a different story. The cross brought atonement. On the cross, Jesus reconciled us to God. How people needed it then, how we need it now. Ever since Adam and Eve, mankind, like sheep, had gone astray from their Creator, following their own selfish aims. The nation of Israel had been intended to heal that rift, but has itself failed. So God himself came in the person of Jesus to be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And there he is, hanging on that cross before us. Like the innocent scapegoat in ancient Israel, who would be driven out into the desert bearing the sins of the people, our sins would be laid on Jesus. See those words. And as it says in the John passage that Wayne just read, Jesus was pierced for our faults despite being innocent himself. But his punishment brought us peace and reconciliation with God. By his wounds we are healed. Without the shedding of innocent blood, there could be no forgiveness for mankind. Do we recognize how, like sheep, we have gone astray? Do we accept the peace and healing he brings freely at such a cost?
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Oppressed by the Sanhedrin and the Romans, Jesus did not resist his unjust accusation, nor his barbarous punishment. He did not open his mouth. And he was led to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter. Deep resonance. In the Exodus from Egypt, God ordered the Israelites to slaughter lambs and put the blood on the doorposts to protect them from the angel of death who would kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. The sacrifice of the lamb and the miracle of the Exodus is recalled yearly at the Jewish feast of Passover, which has a new and deeper meaning when we realize Jesus is the one whose death we commemorate, and that he has saved us from Satan's power, mightier foe than Pharaoh. Like the Passover lamb, Jesus' innocence is proclaimed. He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But he was cut off from the land of the living for all our sakes. He died for us who now trust in him. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, God foreknew your generous action. Do we recognize Jesus' innocence and our guilt that means we desperately need the blood of the Lamb? Can we respond to oppression in our lives as Jesus did?
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion amongst the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
The Lord's will. Jesus' death and his resurrection were God's plan to save humanity from death and hell. God's will was in effect to punish himself on that cross for our guilt, to be purged away by Jesus' precious, innocent blood. Jesus' blood is poured out on the cross. Recall Jesus' words at the Last Supper in Matthew 26:28. This cup, he said, is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, as the hymn says. Our Lord was crushed by the weight and horror of the world's sins. Today is a somber day as we contemplate Jesus going to his death. But this wonderful passage already foreknew that after the darkness of Good Friday, light would come again, eternal light of the resurrection, as Jesus saw again the light of life. And we also see Jesus exalted to the right hand of God the Father, as it says, a portion with the great, where he sits even now and intercedes with us before the Father. Jesus would be vindicated for his suffering and the victory he gained over Satan by being willing to die for mankind. He is the son of Eve, who right back in Genesis 3 was prophesied would crush the serpent's head, even as the serpent struck his heel. Can we understand the magnitude of what God did in sacrificing his own son on the cross for us? And are we proud to be the spiritual offspring of the servant who died on that cross? To conclude, we're going to read the whole passage through together as we reflect on its profound meaning and allow it to question us. Allow God's word to do its good work in your spirit. Remember, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We see in this passage what Jesus has done for us, what we could not do ourselves. But that leaves one final question. How do we respond to the greatest servant? Will we serve him? Let's read it together. Who has believed our message? Everyone. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.